And then Lord Brahma is to go and pray to Lord Vishnu to appear in hell, you know. So then Lord Vishnu came, he came as Lord Vamanadev to rectify the whole situation. Because he wants his devotees to be the controllers in this material world, to be material, the operative cause. But when they are not following, then they have to be rectified, you know. So that is the third situation we're speaking about. You can have four kinds of situation in the material world. So the first one was that we follow Vedic culture in connection with Krishna becomes, it's called the Daivi Varna Ashram. You get the best material results and the best spiritual results. The second position, you follow the modern culture, you connect it to Krishna. You get the spiritual, good spiritual results, but you get the bad material results. And third one is the Varna Ashram. The Vedic culture, which is not connected to Krishna, it's called Asurik Varnashram. So then you get the good material results, but you make no spiritual progress. There's no spiritual progress. And the fourth one is, when you follow the modern culture, not in connection with Krishna, you don't make any spiritual advancement, and neither you have a good material result. So it's the worst situation. That's why this Kali Yuga, it's such a terrible place to be, you know. This like you can go around and you can see people have no clue about how to live life properly, even materially, even if they are not God consciousness, they just don't know what to do. They just live in the big cities like rats living on the streets, just eating garbage. What kind of life is that? Who wants such a life? Not a person who is materially pious would desire to have such a life. Like many people in India, they just leave their farms, they go to big cities, and they basically live like rats. They just collect some garbage, make some huts, and they live inside, you know. So this is the influence of the modern culture. Yeah. Are there any questions? Is that clear? Does it make sense? Yeah, it's described that in the Satya Yuga, the demons there are on the different planets. Like you have Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, they live on different planets, you know. And then in Treta Yuga, they live in another continent. Like you have the story from Ramayana, Ravana is living in Sri Lanka. And Ram and the Sun dynasty, they live in Ayodhya. So it's a next continent, you know. This is a good point that sometimes we think, the devotees, that the NASA, they discovered this bridge to Sri Lanka. You know, you heard about it? They're from the satellite, it's like, you can see it's underwater. It's like a line that's around 30 kilometers from India to Sri Lanka. So do you think this is the original bridge that Lord Ram with the monkey warriors built? What do you think? Huh? Yes, but this is at the bottom of the sea, and they claim that this is the Ram Setu, the bridge that Lord Ram built to Sri Lanka. But actually this statement is not based on the Shastra, that's why we can't accept it as being truthful. Because even Bhagavatam, the fifth canto, explains that Sri Lanka is one of the islands, you know, on the earth, on the Bharata Varsha. And what we call today Sri Lanka, it's actually called Ceylon originally. And Bhagavatam explains this island is called Simhala. It's a place where the tribe called Simhalas, that's where they live. So it's not actually the Sri Lanka that Lord Ravana would live. So this is a misconception, you know. But you can see it on dandavas.com, or someone is prophesizing that this is Lord Ram bridge. But if you read Ramayana, It says that the bridge was 100 yojanas, and one yojana is 8 miles, so it's 800 miles. So how comes that this is only 30 kilometers? So that's already a contradiction. So we can't accept that this is the Ram's bridge, because it's not, basically. And why we don't see this is the Ceylon Island, it's called today Sri Lanka, and the original Sri Lanka, actually, that is 800 miles south from India. That was when Vibhishan, the brother of Ravana, he actually got a benediction from Lord Ram, that was in Treta Yuga, that he and his kingdom will be protected from the other society. So they are actually hidden. So they got this benediction that will be hidden. You know, the original Sri Lanka, where Lord Ram was, that was a million years ago, that's actually still existing, but we just can't see it. Because Lord Ram, he gave the benediction to Vibhishan. You know. So, and you can also read about it in Mahabharata, when the Pandavas were performing the Rajasuya sacrifice. That's why they're trying to reign over the whole planet. They had to defeat all the kingdoms or make them to pay a tribute. So they would send, either they would go themselves and they will defeat different kingdoms. So it says one of the Pandavas, he sent his messengers to Sri Lanka. And they pay the taxes, because Vibhishan is also a great devotee. So he understood that Maharaj Yudhishthira is a Rajarishi, is Mahabhagavat, pure devotee. So they pay the taxes. So it's all, we have to follow the Shastra. This whole verse is about this. We have to follow the Shastra, or the conclusion of the Shastra. I mean, you cannot just accept some whimsical conclusions based on material sentiment, you know, because some few Indians, they want to claim that Sri Lanka and India, there is a bridge and they found it on NASA and all that. They call it Ramsetu, you know, and there's like almost a war between Sri Lanka and India. Because of that, they try to break it down and all that. It's a whole issue, you know. So we have to follow the conclusion of the Shastra. This is not the original bridge. So that, yeah, so that's what happens in Treta Yuga. You have the demons living on the next continent. And then in Dvapara Yuga, you have the demons, they live in the next city. You have the Maharaj Yudhishthira living in Indraprastha, and you have Duryodhana living in Hastinapur. It's just next city. You know, just next door. And in Kali Yuga, these demons and the demigods, or the devotees, they live in the same body, in the heart. So these are, there are the six, you know what those six are? The enemies in our heart. Bhakta Remy. Yes? He said it in Sanskrit already. You don't know. You can say it in English, it's not that you have to say it in Sanskrit. Yeah. Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride. That's madness, and one more. You said ignorance, illusion, yeah. So these six, these are the enemies of the heart, the eternal enemies of the soul, so we have to defeat them. So, this pride means madness. One is mad after sense gratification. Moha means illusion. Ignorance is illusion. Yeah. So this is also the importance of Krishna's lila, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan. When he takes birth, before he appears in the womb of Devaki, there's the six children, they also appear there first, and then Kamsa kills them, one after another. So these are the six enemies that are within our heart. So if we want Krishna to appear in our heart, first those six enemies, they have to be killed. one after another. And how are they killed? The Kamsa represents that. Could you say, could someone say what Kamsa represents? These children are the six demons, and then Kamsa, he kills them all. So, no. Mataji, do you know? Yeah, there's the fear of that. Kamsa was very much afraid because there was a prediction that when the eighth child appears, then he will kill him. He will be the cause of his death. So he was very much afraid of all the children of Devaki. So he killed them one after another. So this is that fear of material existence that we have to cultivate that in our heart. And that will destroy all the other six enemies. So that the acharyas explain, we have to practice both the retraction from the material world and attraction to the spiritual. So this retraction from the material, that we can also base it on the fear of material existence. Like Srila Prabhupada says, that my disciples, they are not afraid of the material existence. You know, so we should be praying to the deities that they protect us from Maya. We have to pray for protection out of fear, you know, unless we are completely purified. By the fear of material existence. But it has to be connected to Krishna, you know. So that's why you practice the renunciation of the material world, and you practice the attachment to the spiritual world, attachment to Krishna. So both for the conditioned soul, both practices are important. Someone who is already on the perfectional stage, then he is just cultivating the attachment to Krishna in the spiritual world. So these are the two types of bhakti. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, you have the Upaya Bhakti and Phala Bhakti. So this Upaya Bhakti, that's the retraction and attraction. Retraction from matter, attraction to spirit. And Phala Bhakti, that's already the perfectional stage when you practice pure devotion, pure unalloyed devotional service. Yes? Yeah, you already explained that because of sickness we are sick. So if you are sick, the liver is controlling the taste on the tongue. So if you have a sick liver, if you have jaundice, then something that is very sweet like a sugar cane, it tastes very bitter. I don't have the experience, but the Shastra explains that. You know, so if you have a jaundice, anything sweet you take, it tastes really bitter. It's like you can't eat it. It's like, oh, so bitter. So it's because the liver is sick. But what is the medicine? It's the sugar. The sugar cane. The sugar candy. It's called mishri. So you take So you take that as a medicine that will purify the liver. Then you'll get free from jaundice. Then the sugar tastes sweet again, you know. So we have to hear the pastimes again and again. While our consciousness got purified from all the six enemies, then we can experience that sweetness of Krishna's pastimes. That's why the Shravanam is the most important process. Yes, Bhakta Premi. Yeah, that's why Srila Prabhupada explains you should chant Hare Krishna as if you will die in 2 minutes. So imagine you die in 2 minutes from now, you'll be like chanting like anything. Like My Guru Maharaj explains, he was on the airplane, I think, either going to India or from India, I don't know, British Airways. And there was some problem when the wheels of the airplane, when they're going to land, it didn't open. So there was some problem, and they announced that we have this problem, so you prepare, you know. So they all had to tie their belts and all that, you know. So, and people were afraid because it's like the landing is the landing is the most important part of the flight. And you really, if they mess up, you know, it's finished, over, you know. So there, people are afraid. So he said he was chanting, and he said it was like the best japa in his life, you know, because you know that this is the time that you might leave the body. And then he also explained that, like, you have these great devotees all over the world, and they are leaving the bodies. All the devotees are praying for them simply, you know, everyone knows they're going to leave the body, so everybody's like praying, there's 24-hour kirtans going on, and this and that. But for him, no one even knew he's in the plane and that he's going, he might be leaving the body very soon, you know. So he was thinking like that, and he explained it was the best japa he ever got. And then they landed, there was like some scratches and, you know, some like, it was really dangerous landing. Then they stopped, you know. And then they announced, you know, how they say it? Thank you for joining the British Airways. So we wish you a nice rest on the flight, like that, you know. It's like, you know, when they announce when you have landing British Airways, we wish you a nice day. Thank you for joining British Airways, huh? Yeah, we hope you enjoyed your flight. Yeah. So, any other question? Is it the time where we have to finish? Okay. Thank you for coming. Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Samavita Bhaktavrinda ki jai, Jayantai Gaura Premanande Hari Hari Bhava.